Good morning, and welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have invited us to come before you to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing to you. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn for today is, Lord, open now my heart to hear. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin, beginning on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Amen.
We pray. Merciful and gracious Lord, you cause your word to be proclaimed in every generation. Stir up our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may receive your word with humility, and finally be exalted at the coming of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Leviticus. We read from chapter 19. We'll first read verses 1 and 2, and then verses 15 through 18. Our first two readings, and even a good chunk of our sermon text for today, deal with the law of God. This reading from the Old Testament book of Leviticus reminds us that God's law does not demand that we do good or try hard or do our best. It actually demands perfection. And it's summarized with one of the verses in this text that says, "Be holy, even as I, the Lord, Jehovah, your God, am holy." Thankfully, God's word does not end with a law. We will also hear plenty about the gospel today. The Lord told Moses to speak to the whole community of the Israelites and tell them these things. "You shall be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy." And then we jump to verse 15. "You shall not act unjustly in court cases. Do not show favoritism to a poor person, and do not show undue honor to an important person. You must judge your fellow citizens with justice. You shall not go around spreading slander among your people. You shall not testify falsely against your neighbor in a capital case. I am the Lord. You shall not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. You must openly rebuke your fellow citizen so that you do not become responsible for his sin. You must not take revenge. You must not bear a grudge against the members of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Our second reading for today is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." These words, inspired words from the Apostle Paul, remind us that the fulfillment of the law boils down to just one word: love. If we could perfectly love God and perfectly love our neighbor as ourselves, we would truly fulfill the law. We cannot do that. Thankfully, Jesus did it for us. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are summed up in this statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, so love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this since you understand the present time. It is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over, and the day is drawing near. So let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let us walk decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sin and wild living, not in strife and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not give any thought to satisfying the desires of your sinful flesh." Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on page 5 in your bulletin. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Christ the Word of God Incarnate. I again invite you to stand for the last verse. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We read from chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. When they heard that he, that is Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees met together. And the Sadducees and Pharisees were the two largest groups of the teachers of the law and the people at that time. One of them, who was a great expert in the law, asked him a question, trying to trap him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "Then how can David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' So if David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" No one was able to answer him a word, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember hearing or learning about the greater than or less than symbols in school? It's usually in math class, right? It's a symbol that looks like this. I mean, it's usually used in connection with numbers or mathematics. You see it when you're comparing two things. So for example, 3 is greater than 2. 13 is greater than 0. 62.5 is greater than 62. Like I said, it's also been used to compare things. You'll sometimes see people comparing one thing or another. They put this greater than sign in between it. For example, coffee is greater than tea. Warm weather is greater than cold weather. Leaving our clocks alone is greater than daylight savings time changes. Or the obvious ones like the Warriors are greater than the Lakers, the 49ers are greater than the Rams, and of course the Giants are greater than the Dodgers. These are just simple mathematic facts, people. I'm just bringing you facts today. In our text, of course, Jesus was given a question of comparison. Which is greater? But it wasn't about math, it wasn't about numbers, and it wasn't done in some good-natured, joking, silly comparison between one subjective thing to another. No, they asked him a question, it says, trying to trap him. And not surprisingly, the Pharisees who were bringing this question asked Jesus a question about the law. That's what the Pharisees were most interested in. That's what they were considered to be experts in. In fact, the one who brought Jesus this question was an expert in the law. And in their mind, the law would be greater than just about anything else. They thought the law was the point of the scriptures. They thought the law was where they would find their righteousness. In fact, many of them actually thought they had kept God's law perfectly, at least outwardly, they had obeyed it. Therefore, they thought that God would see them as being righteous because of their outward keeping of the law. Of course, this did not actually make them righteous in God's sight. It just made them self-righteous. Over the years, their rabbis, their teachers, had concocted over 600 laws. And so they thought they could trap Jesus with this question, that they could trip him up. In his own words, they asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And I'm guessing they probably had in mind all 600 of those laws that they had come up with. Which one, Jesus, is the greatest? Now, clearly these Pharisees were intelligent men, but how foolish can you be? They are trying to trap the one who, as true God, is the author not just of God's law, but the one who is the author of all language, the one who is literally called the Word made flesh. They were trying to trap him in his own words. Yeah, good luck with that. What they did not realize or believe, if we're going to use that greater than or less than symbol again, is that Jesus is not only greater than the law, Jesus is greater than anything else and anyone else. That's good news for us. That literally is good news, because that's what the gospel means. The gospel is that good news that Jesus came to save us from our sins, that he came to fulfill all the law's demands for us, because there is absolutely no way, no possible way, that we could have done it ourselves. Just listen again to Jesus' masterful answer to these experts in the law, the answer he gave to their question. We start in verse 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets," and that expression, the phrase, the law and the prophets, that's a reference to the Old Testament. The Bible that was written at that time was consisting just of the Old Testament. So he's saying the scriptures. All the scriptures depend on these two commandments. What a brilliant answer. What an amazing answer by Jesus. But that brings up a question for you and me, doesn't it? Have you and I kept these two great commandments? It's a very important question, especially if Jesus says the entire scriptures depend on these two commandments. Well, to answer that question, let's do a quick quiz. Have you always gotten along with your siblings and family members? Have you always honored, respected, and obeyed your parents? Ever gossiped about a coworker or a classmate? Ever hated someone's guts before? Can you remember a time in your life when you could have helped someone else who was in need, but you just didn't do it? Didn't take the time, didn't want to? How about your relationship with God? Have you always made him the dearest and greatest treasure in your life? Always loved him above everyone and everything else, all the time? Have you always honored, respected, and obeyed God above everyone and everything else? Have you always trusted in him? Turned to him in every situation. Turned to him first for help, protection, no matter how frightening, no matter how difficult, or how hopeless things looked? How'd you do? Anyone get a perfect score? Anyone able to answer with an unequivocal yes to absolutely every single one of those questions? Yes to every thought, word, and deed we've ever had when it comes to our neighbor or when it comes to God himself? Of course not. If that makes you feel guilty, that's because we are guilty. That's the bad news. We're guilty of breaking both parts of God's greatest commandment that Jesus speaks about in our text. We have not always loved the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We have not always loved our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, we can ask the question, have we ever done that once perfectly? Kept either of those great commandments perfectly even once in our lifetime? But thank God, as I mentioned in our readings for this morning, that God's word does not stop or end with the law. Even these greatest commandments are not greater than Jesus. And they are not greater than the good news of the gospel. Again, if we were to use that greater than symbol, the gospel is greater than the law. Thanks be to God. They're both words from God, right? The gospel and the law are both words from God, but thank God the gospel is greater than the law, and that Jesus is greater than the law. This is what Jesus was trying to show these Pharisees in our text. It was one of the reasons that Jesus went on to ask them some questions. Notice how he turns the tables on them. They come and ask him a question to try to trap him, and he simply asks them a question. We read in our text verses 41 and 42. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Well, that first question was a layup for them. They knew this from their Old Testament. Everyone knew this. They answered, the son of David. It was clear in the Old Testament that the Messiah, the Christ, would be a descendant of the son of David. He would come from the line of King David. Well, then Jesus goes on to ask them a pair of questions that they cannot give an answer to. Continue on in verses 43 to 46. He said to them, then how can David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, and he quotes here from the Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. So if David calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Why couldn't the Pharisees answer that question from Jesus? Well, it boiled down to this. They not only had a misconception about the law of God and its purpose, but also they had misunderstandings and a wrong understanding about who the Christ was and what he had come to be and do. They believed that the Christ who was promised by God in the Old Testament would be an earthly ruler, that he would be a military Messiah. They did not see a need for him to come as a spiritual savior or the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Certainly not a sacrifice on the despised and disgusting cross. After all, what need did they have for a savior if they didn't really have any sins that needed forgiving? They could take care of their own righteousness by the law, they thought. But Jesus, with his words here, showed them his true glory as the Messiah was the fact that he, as true God, was King David's Lord. But as true man, in his grace and mercy and his humility, he came down and became a descendant of King David and therefore was the son of King David. He came down as one of us, a man of flesh and blood, just like you and me, in order to put himself under the law of God. That's very important because that means Jesus kept God's greatest commandment. He was placed under God's greatest commandment of love God and love your neighbor for us. And again, the difference between Jesus and us was he kept God's greatest commandment and all of God's commandments perfectly. He always loved the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. He always loved his neighbor as himself in every thought, every word, and every deed. We can't even imagine doing that for an hour, much less doing it for an entire lifetime, from conception to the cross, or for us, from conception to the casket. And yet, astoundingly, God counts that perfection that Jesus performed for us, keeping God's entire law perfectly, he counts that perfection as belonging to you and me, even in regards to the greatest commandment, because of faith in Jesus. That is why Jesus came to be he's not just the Son of God, but he came to be the Son of David. It is through faith in Jesus, the Son of David, that the Holy Spirit gives us the desire and the strength to love God and to love our neighbor. Not to earn God's love by doing it. Jesus already did that for us. And not because we can do it perfectly. Again, Jesus already did that for us. But rather to show our love for God in return. Listen to these very important words about our love for God and his love for us from 1 John chapter 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's also in Jesus, the Son of David, that we find forgiveness. Forgiveness for all those times we have failed to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. It's in Jesus, the Son of David, that we find forgiveness for the times we've failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. God looks at us, the ones who are guilty, and because of what Jesus did, he declares us to be not guilty. That's why Jesus lived, and that's why he died. Peter writes in his first letter, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God." Thank God the gospel is greater than the law. When we feel the guilt of our sins, don't look to God's law. Don't even look to that greatest commandment for our comfort. When we're tempted by our inner self-righteous Pharisee to somehow try and gain God's favor or gain peace or gain acceptance with God by trying to keep the law, remember, Jesus is greater than the law. Jesus is greater than sin. Jesus is greater than our guilt and our shame. Jesus is greater than death and even hell itself. God's law and his greatest commandment show us our sins, and they show us our deep, our great need for a Savior. So look instead to Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is that Savior. He kept that greatest commandment of God for us and took away our sins on the cross. That is the good news. That's the gospel. Rejoice in the fact that although God has given us the greatest commandment, he's also given us the greater gospel. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for today. There are several prayer requests from our brothers and sisters in Christ up in the Sacramento area from our East Bay congregation. First, for one of their friends, Martin Walther, who is continuing to undergo cancer treatment, had successful surgery, but is now pondering which course of treatment would be best for him, if any at all. The cancer is still there and spreading throughout his body. Also for Steve Rainbolt. Steve had attended here for a number of months when he lived in the Sunnyvale area. He is moving to Michigan for a new job. We ask the Lord to guide him. But also we are rejoicing that his cancer treatments are finished and Steve has been declared cancer-free. We also pray for the earthquake victims in Nepal recently. In your bulletin, there is the prayer list for our world missions. Nepal is included in there, but the earthquake happened after that prayer list was compiled. Our overseas missionary tells us that some of our members in Nepal have been affected deeply by that earthquake, so we pray for them and all the people of Nepal. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God, your word reminds us that you are our refuge and strength. You are our very present help in time of trouble. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, we will not fear. For you, O God of Jacob, are with us, and you are our refuge. Dear Jesus, our great physician of both body and soul, we pray that you would bless Martin Walther as he continues his battle with cancer. We thank you for the successful surgery you gave him, and now we ask you to bless and guide his upcoming oncologist appointment, that he'd be able to make a truly good decision regarding his upcoming treatment options. We entrust him, body and soul, into your loving care. We thank and praise you, dear Savior, for the healing and recovery that you've given to our brother in Christ, Steve Rainbolt, and that his cancer treatments are over, and that he's been declared cancer-free. We ask you to guide, direct, and bless his move to Michigan for the start of his new job. May he continue to glorify you with his work and his life. Above all, continue to keep him close to you in faith wherever he goes. O Lord God, our Redeemer and Creator, we come before you on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ of this HCLC in Nepal, and for all those who have suffered so much loss in connection with the devastating earthquake that hit their country recently. With the gospel of your unfailing love, comfort those who have lost loved ones in this disaster. Those who have been injured or otherwise are sitting in the rubble of homes and businesses destroyed. Help them to say with Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." At the same time, dear Lord, may they and all of us find peace, hope, and patience, knowing that though all earthly things, even this earthly life itself, be destroyed, yet through faith in you, the crucified and risen one, we have blessings beyond compare, forgiveness of all sins, eternal life and salvation. Use this tragedy to turn the hearts of the people who are affected toward you in repentance and faith. Use it to draw them and all of us into a deeper dependence and trust in you, looking in faith to you alone as Savior and God. Give them the assurance of your presence and protect them in the coming days that no further harm, loss, or damage would come upon them. Dwell with them and us, dear Savior. Dwell with them and us and never leave us. Abide with us through your word and help us through that word to reflect your love toward them and others by our words and actions. Dear God, we dare to bring these requests to you in the name of our only mediator and intercessor, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, "The Law Commands and Makes Us Know."
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. Let's join in praying the prayer before the Lord's Supper on the top of page 10. Dear Savior, upon your gracious invitation, I come to your altar. Let me find favor in your eyes that I may approach your table in true faith and receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of my sins and the strengthening of my faith. Amen. You may be seated. We begin the distribution with those who would like to take the Lord's Supper from their pew, and then we'll continue with those communicant members who would like to come forward for the Lord's Supper at the altar. First, we begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. And now take the wine. Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I now invite our communicant members who would like to come take the Lord's Supper at the altar to come forward at the direction of our usher.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace.
I invite you to please rise. Let's join together with a prayer after the Lord's Supper on the middle of page 11. O blessed Savior Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to me in this holy sacrament. Keep me in your faith and favor. As you live in me, let me also live in you. May your body and blood preserve me in the true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Be seated. Our closing hymn for today is On What Has Now Been Sown. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
On what has now been sown.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. Following our service today, we'll have our choir practice. We'll meet briefly for a practice of our choir song, O Give Thanks, which will be sung on Thanksgiving. There will be a second practice on the 19th, and we'll practice again right before the service on Thanksgiving Day, which will take place at 10 a.m. So if you're willing to join the choir for the song this year, please join us after church here in the front. Following that, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there with communion at 1 p.m., and their church council meets for a meeting after the service today at 2. A few announcements for this week. Wednesday, our Bible instruction class with Gary is at 11:30, and then also we have class with Natalie for confirmation at 4 p.m. Wednesday. Thursday, our Board of Ed meets via Zoom at 6 p.m., and a reminder and note that Friday there is no school at SSLS, Veterans Day observed for that day off of school, and Saturday means that is Veterans Day. Next Sunday, our worship service will be the usual time, 10 a.m. Bible study will be at 9 a.m. We do have our voters meeting with elections next Sunday at 11. The congregation is invited to join us for that meeting, and our voters, of course, are encouraged to come to do the voting for the elections next Sunday. The Women's Auxiliary will meet after that meeting. The meeting for the voters shouldn't take too long, so the women are asked to stick around and meet for their Women's Auxiliary at approximately 11:30 after the voters' meeting. As I mentioned, there are there is the prayer list for our different missions around the world in the bulletin. Please keep them in your prayers, and also the brothers and sisters in Nepal who have suffered from that earthquake. Any other announcements today, Scott? Oh, thank you. Yes. Timothy Blank brought a bunch of squash. If you would like, I think it's butternut squash. If you'd like a squash or two or 10, take some with you. He said they keep for a couple months if they're at room temperature. So you can use them for Thanksgiving displays if you want to. So 8-year-old Luke would say, do not give me that squash. I'll use it as a Thanksgiving display. But growing up, Luke actually likes squash. So I took a couple home with me yesterday. So please do the same. Any other announcements for today? Yes.
Next weekend is Crafting Bee. It's going to be a study weekend.
I meant to put that in the bulletin. Is it on the calendar? I think yes. Women's Auxiliary and Crafting Bee is after the voters meeting next Sunday. So just, I don't know, pack an overnight bag and come to church next Sunday and stick around till, well, it gets dark really early now with the time change. So stick around till dark if you'd like to. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And with